Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We're kicking off a new series on Open House tonight, and for the next 3 weeks, that's something very many of us know about intimately. Many aspire, frequently passionately, to get there, yet for others who have, it's been very, very tough. It is marriage, such a soaring delight for so many, such a crushing disappointment for many others. Nearly half of all Australian marriages end in divorce. Perhaps one of the greatest challenges in marriage, among many, is staying connected. Two people enter into it, and in a couple of decades, they are likely to be entirely different people living entirely different lives. How to grow together, remain connected through all those changes, is what we'll be looking at over these next 3 weeks in Staying Connected in Marriage. To guide us through, a married couple who've done a great deal of deep thinking about this, Keith and Sarah Condy. Keith's the Dean of Students at Moore Theological College, and Sarah's a librarian and has graciously and tirelessly helped him learn all he knows about marriage. Keith and Sarah, welcome.
She sure has.
I knew that was true.
Thanks, Lee. Great to be here.
It's terrific to have you with us. Tell us a bit about your own marriage first. I want to delve into this just a bit. The date of the happy day was?
The 12th of December, 1981. So we've just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It was a very hot day. But we enjoyed it. I think everyone else wilted. We didn't.
Yeah. How well do you say you are prepared for marriage when you consider the material that we'll be going through over the next 3 weeks? How well were you prepared for it?
The minister who married us, it was the first wedding he'd conducted. And so he and his wife spent quite a lot of time with us, just chatting to us about marriage and sharing some insights from the Bible with us. That was very useful and very helpful for us. But I think the reality is it's once you're in the middle of it, that's when you start to work out what's going on. And yeah. I think we had a lot to learn still.
Okay. Sarah?
I think we'd thought about the practical side a lot because we were both very young and our parents were not overly excited about us getting married. I was still a student. It wasn't that they didn't like Keith. They just thought we were young. And
we were young.
We were.
Mind you, you've taught them a thing or two.
Yeah. So we sort of had to work out how could we financially support ourselves. Just a lot of nuts and bolts things we'd thought about. We had to learn a lot.
Yes. Mm. First year, greatest delights, greatest challenges.
I've been wanting to be married to Sarah for quite a while. So just being married was, I just thought it was fantastic. I just wanted to share my life with this person and being together, setting up our house, hanging out together all the time.
Great stuff.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what I remember, setting up house and cooking together and having people over and just doing things together. It was just wonderful.
Good days.
Yeah. Mm.
Greatest challenge.
Well, at the end of that first year, my father died of cancer, so that was quite hard. So facing that together, for me, that was a really hard thing.
I think because we were both fairly quiet, polite sort of people, I think there was stuff going on. I think we had issues that we found it quite difficult to talk about with each other.
We didn't know how to talk, so we didn't.
So rather than fight and argue, we just sort of withdrew and sort of sometimes even freeze each other out a bit, wouldn't we?
Yes, we'd be very silent and not talk, and then a few days later we'd start talking again.
Yes.
It's not a very good way of operating.
I'm sure we've done better than that. And I'm sure you've got a lot through those kind of experiences to help us with. You've also done an extensive amount of research into our subject of staying connected in marriage. I'm sure you have the perfect marriage, so that goes without saying.
We do not have the perfect marriage.
It's a marriage in progress.
Yeah. A work in progress.
Aren't they all? Yeah. What does the data, the research, tell us about healthy, emotionally connected marriages when they're working well?
We've gained a lot from a guy called John Gottman from the United States. He's a psychologist. He's been studying marriage for over 35 years now. And I think when he started doing marriage research, there was very little data out there. Not much serious research had been done. Mm. And so what Gottman did is he set up a thing, he called it his Love Lab. And it was really like a Big Brother house, except it didn't do that, you know, the cameras in the bathrooms and all that sort of
good
thing.
But
or the bedrooms. Or,
no. But he really wanted to see what goes on with couples. How do they relate together? What makes a couple, their relationship actually work?
And not guess about what makes
and
it
not
work.
Guess. Yes. And so, and he's come up with some very helpful research. And so one of the really key things he discovered was couples who stay married, they tend to be friends. I know this sounds really obvious, but they stay friends. They've got a way of maintaining that emotional friendship connection with each other.
So they like each other and they enjoy being with each other.
It is so simple and yet so necessary and yet not to be taken for granted.
No. And for so many couples, that's one of the things that just disappears. They lose that friendship.
How did he discover how people whose marriages are doing well relate to each other in terms of conflict?
It wasn't that they didn't have conflict. It was just that they were able to handle conflict in gentle and positive ways.
Yes, so they sure have their fights, but the way that they fought with each other, this is a really critical thing, the way they fought with each other, they managed to deal with the issue. They played, I suppose to use an analogy, they played the ball rather than the man. If you're a footballer, it's dealing with the issue, not attacking the person, and that's a very, very important thing that he discovered.
We'll talk a little later in the series about how that's done.
Sure.
But just now, in this context, how do you do that practically? It's one thing to say, oh, well, we'll fight fair, or how do you manage conflict? I imagine there are lots of people out there for whom conflict is really tough and who might say, how do you do that?
Sometimes it's thinking about what is the issue and how can I express it so that the other person actually hears what I'm saying. For me, that was a really important thing that I had to learn so that I didn't actually communicate anger, which is what I was often feeling, but I had to actually think, well, what was I really thinking and feeling about that issue and communicating that in a way that Keith could hear me.
Yes, and I think trying to think of this other person, treat them with respect. You know, here is another human being. Here is someone I actually care for very deeply. I don't like this, what's going on here at the moment, but I don't want to attack them. I don't want to, impugn all sorts of terrible motives to Sarah. I want to be able to express what's really going on for me without undermining her as a person.
So that the balance of positive in a marriage generally far outweighs the negative.
Yes.
Not denying that the negative happens.
No, it certainly happens. And that's one of the things to maintain this friendship, because if you're always fighting, arguing, all of that sort of thing, once that starts to happen, you stop doing those positive things that actually keep the marriage healthy.
Yes.
The things that good friends do with each other.
So we have a little saying, small things often, and it's doing small positive things often with each other. It's like you then are putting credit into your bank account so that you can actually draw on that for when negative stuff happens.
Which all sounds fine, and then cold hard life intrudes on all this.
Absolutely.
Yes,
it does.
With the friendship, the positivity, try to be gentle in conflict. What are the barriers to this deep friendship, peace and positivity in marriage?
The first one would be a harsh startup, the way you'd raise an issue.
Yes. Again, this is one of the things that Gottman discovered was very frequently in marriages, the way that a matter gets raised, there's this harsh beginning to the conversation. And the other person feels under attack. It creates this distance between them. And what Gottman discovered was you start a conversation badly, 95% of the time it will end badly.
Okay.
Even if along the way, you know, someone tries to fix it up.
The other interesting thing about John Gottman's research is that he can actually listen to a couple interact for 5 minutes and he can predict with something like a 91% accuracy whether that relationship's going to last or not.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And it's just...
And what's he listening for?
How the conversation starts.
A lot of criticism, any contempt in the tone of voice just gives away a lot. So he has what he calls the four marriage killers, which are criticism. What we were talking about before about attacking the person rather than the issue.
Yes.
And then contempt. Contempt is like sulfuric acid to love. It just burns it away. So anything that communicates this incredible strong distaste towards the other person, you know, like... I really hate you. And it could be words
and
that they say.
It's often communicated non-verbally. So, you know, you roll your eyes, you sort of, you sigh. I think contempt is often much more in your facial expressions that's communicated.
The third one is defensiveness. You think, well, what's wrong with, you know, being defensive if the other person's attacking you? The problem is you're then throwing the problem back onto them. And you're saying, you know, I'm not the problem. You're really the problem. So it's accusatory of them. And then the final one, which he says actually comes much later in marriages, is what he calls stonewalling. And that's when one party just completely shuts down. Mm. And it's like, you know, the conversation's taking, well, the other person's talking and the words are going, you know, they're hearing the words, but it's as if they haven't heard them at all.
Yeah.
Completely shut down.
On Open House, we're in the first of our Staying Connected in Marriage series with Keith and Sarah Condy. What are the kinds of things that we argue about? It may seem a funny question to ask, but in identifying some of those, it's quite helpful to find ways of resolving or finding a way around conflict about those issues.
I think that's interesting because I think for every couple it'll be different. So it might be in-laws, it might be children, it might be having sex or not having sex, it might be how you do the shopping, it might be whether you send your children to private school, public school, how you handle money.
All sorts of things. In fact, whatever it is, I think we've got the ability to find
about anything.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, so for all couples, there'll be issues, but there will be very different issues for every couple.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is, for most couples, there are the same problems keep coming up again and again and again. It's like they're perpetual. Mm. It's like they don't go away. And no matter how hard you try and actually resolve them, they will keep coming back within the marriage. You've just got to find ways to negotiate your way around those particular issues.
I'm not the expert, but if I was ever to pass on anything about marriage and travelling through all those changes that I referred to before that happen in your life, staying connected, it does take work often hard work.
Absolutely.
And I wonder whether many people are told that as clearly that they get it getting into marriage.
No, I think you're probably right. I think they think they're madly in love.
That's right.
It'll work out. So even if there is a glimmer of something that looks like an issue, they'll think, oh, it'll go away, or it'll be all right.
Love conquers all.
That's the mentality. That's the romantic ideal around us. But unfortunately, that's not real life.
How do we do that? Or what has to happen in our mind and our attitude towards the other person that will enable us to do that?
It really takes a lot. It does take hard work, and it takes a sense of commitment and a willingness to put yourself out, a desire in your own heart to put this other person before yourself. And that's a very, very hard thing to do, to not be selfish.
Mm. The fact that I made promises to Keith that I would be with him for the rest of my life has really challenged me. I think I made those promises very seriously. So I think that level of that idea of commitment has meant, okay, I'm going to give it a go. I'm not just going to walk out.
Yeah. I said before that you've done a lot of work looking at the data on marriage, contemporary data. You're also informed very strongly by data from the Christian faith.
Yes. We just think there's enormous wisdom in the Bible. The marriage enrichment programs that we run, we look at that material as well and just find it's extraordinary what is said there.
What sort of things?
I think the primary thing that a marriage is a commitment about, those promises that Sarah just spoke about, that's the fundamental thing about a marriage, is you promise to stay with this person through thick or thin. Now, I know marriages sometimes fail. There's broken marriages in my own extended family. But I've heard someone say, I think it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Christian theologian from way back, who I think he said, it's the covenant, it's the promise you make that sustains your marriage, sustains your love, rather than your love, the feeling that you have, making the marriage work. It's actually the other way around. And we've found, because, you know, we've gone through some difficult times, but because of those promises, we feel like there's this safety net beneath us that means we can talk about things. And I think Sarah's not just going to walk out in the midst of this fight because she's promised to stay with me. And I've done the same to her. And we've tried to really make that the rock solid basis. So that's one of the really helpful things we've found.
I think a big thing is being able to say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And for the other to say, I forgive you. in our own marriage. Those words have been said by both of us on many, many occasions, but we have spoken to many couples where that is not the norm, and each person in the relationship really struggles to be able to say, I'm sorry.
Each week I'm really keen to extract practical stuff from your own marriage and from your own research. Tell us how you've practically kept your friendship going through your marriage, would you say?
A lot of it is just hanging out together and actually spending time together and doing fun things together. We try and touch base every day. And by touch base, I mean not just say, you know, hi, how are you? But, you know, really talk about our day and what's going on and how we're feeling and, you know, what's our work situation thrown up that's created, you know, some issues or made us feel certain things.
We try and start each day, we just briefly share with each other what we're each doing, and then we pray for the other. And it takes 5 minutes, but it's a time where we know what each other is doing, and then we just commit each other to the Lord.
All of that's very intentional.
Yes, absolutely.
And reflects a desire to do it as well.
Yes, because our children are, our youngest is 18, so we're not in that small children phase. So I'm not trying to say it's easy, and those two things are probably the hardest thing to do when you say you have small children around.
Yes.
That's a hugely challenging time, and if you can make it a priority to have this connect time every day, even when life is really pressured, it's actually when life is really pressured and busy that you most need that.
Indeed.
For the sake of your
Indeed.
Marriage.
Can you tell us an instance where you've had to work, finally, really hard at handling conflict gently and constructively? Because it all sounds fine. How does that work?
Well, one of our perpetual issues has been, I suppose, Keith working and working long hours and getting home late. And I think I've always found that hard. What I would like to communicate is that I miss him and I wish he was at home. I have not in the past been very good at communicating that. So when he walks in the door, I'll be very angry with him and say something like, "So you decided to come home."
It's a good conversation starter.
Yeah. I really warm to it. Yeah.
So that Keith would then get very defensive and say, "Well, I'm just doing my job." The conversation would deteriorate.
That's that conversation starter. How critical that is.
Yes.
And we got into a very bad habit with that. I've had to try and change my ways and work much harder at spending that time with Sarah and being connected and not letting work, you know, totally consume life.
Very practical. And I'm determined to make this practical as we navigate the shoals of marriage through these next few weeks. Keith and Sarah Condy, thanks so much for joining us. Next week, the warning signs of a relationship in trouble. See you next week.
Thanks,
See
Lee.
You. Thanks,
Bye.
Lee. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.